Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit.
We thank you for your spirit.
Lord, pour
today.
It out richly
flow
that we all may
spirit.
See
flow
and
we
may be led
by the
spirit.
Spirit.
Bless our speaking and our hearing. We praise you for
your
wonderful work
in
the church,
in unity,
in oneness. In everything that you have shown us so far, we thank you for all your
riches
in your church, Lord. Yes, we are going on. And tonight we want to ask ourselves, what is the framework for the oneness that we are supposed to keep? Which is the outward framework? This question is quite important because you cannot speak the word about oneness everywhere. May it be a denomination, a group, or the large state churches, they all claim a certain oneness, right? But what is the oneness that Scripture shows us? That is what we have to ask. Which is the framework of the basis for oneness in the Scripture? And this is the oneness in one locality. Let's come back first to what we have said and spoken in the last conference in winter, last December. What is God's will? And then we read some verses which expressly state God's will. Which were these verses? God's will was first that all men get saved. God's will is our sanctification. And then God's will is the building up of the church. How does God want to fulfill his will? Through his Son, Jesus Christ. Everything only works through his Son, Jesus Christ. He put him forth as the person, and with this person he got identified. We have to know that Jesus was one with God in eternity past and will always be one with him. But for a certain time, Jesus Christ became flesh, and the Lord God testified of this person, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him. I'm well pleased with him." He was a glorious man of which God could testify this. I would also like to be such a person, to experience this word, this testimony about from God. And I know what the way is, and the way is called Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself. God headed up all things in Christ. So, to give him to us, to every one of us in our regeneration. And it's glorious to lead such a life and to have such a Lord in us so that we can live such a life. Like Romans 8:32 says, that after not having spared his Son, but having given him up for all of us, he gives us everything with him, with his Son.
Das ist Gottes Weg mit uns.
This is God's way with us.
Und in 1. Korinther,
and in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, he says, out of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to us from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You don't need more. Righteousness, sanctification, up to redemption. We started out with righteousness. We got it when our sins were forgiven, right? We accepted the righteousness of the Lord. Then sanctification is the process of our life today to grow more into the Lord and to be sanctified through and through. Our spirit had been sanctified already. Now it's our soul who is being sanctified, and then one day our body will be transformed and be like the body of the Lord Jesus. And therefore it is so important to see and to know the Lord Jesus. And we can ask him that oftentimes, Lord, I want to see you more. Not only when something unexpected or something terrible happens and we say, oh Lord, I don't understand you. Some things we may not understand in our life, but I want to touch him more and to see him more and to have fellowship with him more, to do things together with him and experience things together with him. This is a wonderful life.
Das hat der Herr für uns vollbracht.
And this is what the Lord did for us.
Mit drei Weissagungen
I want
über das Kreuz beginnen.
To start with three prophecies about the cross. These are quite strange prophecies,
Herrn,
actually, about the Lord and his death.
Beide stehen im
Both are Johannes written Evangelium. In the Gospel of John.
Das eine in Kapitel 1, das andere
the one in chapter 1, the other one in chapter 11. And in chapter 1, we read the prophecy of John the Baptist, where he sees the Lord, and John the Baptist sees the Lord and says, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Es ist eine unwahrscheinliche Offenbarung.
This was a real tremendous revelation, right? Peter also had such a revelation sometime later on that the Lord Jesus was the Christ.
Aber Johannes war noch ein typischer Vertreter des
But John was a typical representative of the Old Covenant. Of him, the Lord said he's the greatest in the Old Covenant, but the smallest in the New Covenant is greater than him. And he had this revelation about the Lord Jesus. He said it even two times. Jesus, the Lamb of God.
Und das zweite, die zweite Offenbarung
and the second revelation
hatte der hohe Priester, der
was the high priest who had it, who was testifying, who was prophesying just shortly before the Lord was arrested. I'll read it out to you, or someone of you can read it. John 11, verse 49, up to 52. Through verse 52. But a certain one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you account that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not the whole nation perish. Now this he did not say from himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was about to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but that he might also gather into one the children of God who have been scattered abroad. Isn't that a special prophecy of a person that wanted to kill Jesus? He's prophesying concerning him. Nor do you account anything. You know nothing at all. It is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not the whole nation perish. Jesus died for salvation, but he had a bad intention, an evil intention. But it's still a wonderful prophecy.
angekündigt worden. Sein Tod ist angekündigt worden.
His death was also announced this way.
Es war nicht allein Jesaja, es war auch der
Hohepriester. It was not just Isaiah, it was also the high priest. Isaiah had a positive view, the high priest had a negative view. But God is like that sometimes. In 1 John 49, the brothers come to Joseph. In Genesis 9, the brothers of Joseph come to him because they are afraid of their brother now after the death of their father. And Joseph was really disappointed about their brothers because what they were asking him, and he was even weeping and saying, yes, you planned to do evil to me, but God planned to do good to all of us. That's the way it is. The man plans evil things, and still God can do something good out of him. Now, there are two aspects of death that are mentioned, that salvation from of the people from judgment, and the second thing was that the Lord Jesus would bring his people together through his death, not only the Jews here, but also those who would believe in him later on. He would also bring them together.
Und wenn man den Tod bedenkt, den er gelitten hat, es war ja kein leichter Tod.
And when you imagine or remember the death of the Lord, it was not an easy death. He just died simply. It was a terrible and long suffering death with much suffering. And all this in order for us to be one, that we could be brought together in oneness. All that in obedience towards the Father. When we ponder upon that, think about what the Lord did. We may sin, and then we repent.
Und erkennen auch, okay, der Herr ist dafür gestorben.
And we also recognize, yes, the Lord died for that, and I took it so lightly and just sinned. And we repent, but we are sure and we trust the Lord that this sin was forgiven. But when we violate oneness, then we may have no sensation at all of regret of sin, and that the Lord died for oneness. His cross happened because of oneness also. How often do we have to repent when we do something against oneness? We have to repent even when we violate his oneness. We heard so much about this oneness, that his oneness, the divine oneness into which we came also in to transgress against it, is also a serious sin.
Ja, das kann uns auch eine Lehre sein für unseren persönlichen Wandel, für unseren Umgang.
It may be a lesson for us also for our personal walk with our wife or the brothers and sisters around us.
Der möge uns wirklich so ein sensitives.
May the Lord really make us sensitive for that. That we don't destroy his oneness through an emotion or because we planned it, whatever. It's a terrible sin, actually.
Gedanken.
A sin in thoughts.
Ja, wir sündigen vielfach.
We are sinning quite often, right? In this respect.
Starb für die Einheit.
The Lord died for oneness, for the oneness of all believers. And he lived for that oneness of all the believers. And he gave us an example, a model. He was successful in the end. He prayed for the oneness of all the believers in John 17, just before his death. This was a prayer full of power, full of authority, full of commitment.
Betete, dass wir alle eins.
He prayed that we all would be one.
Und der Herr und der Vater erhörte sein Gebet.
And God the Father heard
es
his prayer.
Nach Gottes Willen gebetet.
It was a prayer according to God's will, right?
Und gleich anschließend.
And right after that, just shortly after that, 5 weeks after that,
fing Gott an,
God
mit einem
started
die Gemeinde just in Einheit zu bauen.
To bring forth and build the church in one step, except for the day of resurrection when the Lord breathed his spirit into the disciples.
Aber am Pfingsttag,
on Pentecost,
da hat er den Geist ausgegossen.
He poured out the Spirit, and the church started to have to gather thousands of people. If we had to be confronted with thousands of people, I think we would run into trouble, right? If one by one they come in, we could take care of that person, right? That's what we think. But the disciples at that time, they couldn't do it like that. They couldn't tackle it. And they fully trusted the Spirit. The Spirit did it. The Spirit supplied all those people. And when we believe that the Lord builds his church and something like that happens, then we would have to trust the Lord also that the Spirit would continue to build the church. He will do it. Maybe he will surprise us one day as well. And we want to pray, to keep praying that long and exercise our spirit to be prepared for that. The Lord started with the church in Jerusalem, but then he continued to go to Samaria and all the other surrounding regions. More and more churches were created, each in their locality, and finally in Antioch, or later on in Antioch, in the north of Syria. Everywhere churches were raised, one after the other, and each one in its locality. This is something quite obvious in the Bible. In Acts 1:8, the church in Jerusalem is mentioned. And in 13, verse 1, the church in Antioch. In Romans 1, 7, the church in Rome. In Galatians 1, verse 2, the churches in Galatia. Because Galatia was a region, it was not one church in Galatia, but there were several churches in Galatia. And finally, in the end of the Bible, we see seven churches in the region of Asia. And the Lord took care of all of these churches as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd for the churches. And even in the last chapter of the Bible, in Revelation 22, 16, he's speaking about the churches. The Lord really takes good care of the churches, and each one was a local church. But the enemy was attacking it right at the beginning, was attacking the church in Jerusalem right from the start. And this was not just by chance. The Lord already prophesied concerning that when he said in Matthew 16, I tell you, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The gates of Hades, where are they? Do you realize where they are? Do you see them? Can you describe them? It's difficult to describe, right? The enemy is really, he attacks from the inside and from the outside. He's got his strategy. He's fighting, and what he's annoyed with the most is the essence of God, the nature of God in the church. If there is no God's nature, if it's just an organization, it can exist for centuries without the enemy attacking it because he's reigning there. It's the world as he's reigning in the whole world, right? No difference. But the moment that we want to build the church, opposition starts. We realized that, or we experienced that 50 years ago. We went out to the field, simply proclaimed, right, Margaret? We are here, the church in Freiburg, south of Germany, the first church in Germany. We proclaimed that. We sang some hymns, and the next day, opposition started. We shouldn't be naive. There will be attacks from the enemy, up to the point that even people get killed. We didn't see anyone being killed among us, but spiritually killed, yes, through evil speaking. But in Matthew 16, the Lord didn't only give us a warning, but also a help. He said there, if someone wants to follow me,
in 16,
verse 24, in Matthew 16, 24, he said, if anyone desires to come after me, this is voluntary, let him deny himself. And self is always an inlet for the enemy, an inlet gate. And he deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him take up his cross and follow me. In Luke he says, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. So, you know, the taking up of my cross, actually it's the cross of the Lord, it's actually the crucified himself that I'm receiving and taking up. This experience will protect me from the enemy and will protect the church from my flesh. It is good if we do that oftentimes and think about, remember it on time. We had some, if we have some arguments and it's getting hotter, and I realize, oh, be careful and just take a step back. That means deny yourself. Why? For the Lord's sake and for the Father's sake. The Lord denied himself during his whole life. He didn't have his own opinion. He didn't have his own wishes and desires. But his objective was to be obedient all the time. And it is good to read something like that and to accept it for oneself and say, yes, Lord, I also want to be obedient. I want to do what my father does and not do what my father doesn't
do.
The only thing that we should do is that we say, I don't want to do anything that is displeasing the Father. We should have an obstacle for that. I would like all of us to do the things that the Father loves. To do the things that the Father loves. We are important for the Father. And he wants to use us for the building up of his church. And this morning we heard a lot about how we can participate in an active way in the church life. And this way we are pleasing to the Father. When I gave my first testimony in the church, I was so tremendously happy. I said, I want to do it again. It was a good experience. We have to multiply such experiences. We realize God is there. Yes, right. I'm so happy and I'm supplied so much. I was not a person who liked to talk, a talkative person, and I didn't like to talk in front of a multitude of people. I never liked it, but it really encouraged me. I want to experience that again. And I continue to experience that. That was not just one experience and then finished, but each time when I said something positive about the Lord, I got this supply. Praise the Lord, and we would like to continue to do that. The enemy's attacks, though, we must always remember them. In Jerusalem, there was opposition right from the start. People lost their houses. James was killed. It was really an evil persecution. And they had to flee from Jerusalem to the surrounding regions. Let's have a look at this warning of the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, which he was pronouncing when he was presumably meeting with the elders in Ephesus for the last time. He said, I know that after my departure, wolves will come, which will not spare the flock. These were people sent by the enemy, men or women, whatever. And from your own midst, the enemy also works from the inside, from your own among you. Men will rise up who will speak evil things in order to distract the disciples after them. So from their own midst, people would rise up to cause division after them, to make people follow them. Actually, we should only follow the Lord and not people.
Paulus geradezu eine Weissagung. Ich denke, das hat er nach seinem.
But this was a prophecy of Paul, and he told that to the Ephesians, I think, after he wrote Corinthians. The experience in Corinth made him write that to the Ephesians. I think he had some ample experience of that when he visited the churches. And finally, we see in Corinth the enemy was working. It was so harmless. It looked so harmless. In Corinth, there were different apostles, and they were preaching the gospel, and they were baptizing people.
Dann bildeten sich so, ja, vielleicht fing eine Gruppe an.
And then one group started, may have started, and said, Apollos is the best speaker. He is so eloquent and so powerful. He is the one who knows how to speak. And we are for Apollos. And the others felt a bit motivated to say, no, we are for Peter because of this and that. And then the one following Paul said, oh, no, we are here for Paul. Paul is the greatest. And someone said, I was even baptized by Paul.
Da kann man sich doch rühmen.
And then we could boast.
Jesu Christi getauft worden ist.
You could boast of being baptized by a great apostle Paul, right? But we know the Lord's answer.
Ich lese es nochmal vor. Ich meine aber dies, dass der eine von euch sagt, ich bin Paulisch, ich aber Apollisch, ich aber Käfisch und ich bin
I read it to you. Here he says in Corinthians, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, I'm of Christ. One group said, you have to be for Christ. So we are of Christ. We are this special group. We are only for Christ. But Paul also criticized those. Why? Because he said, is Christ divided? When even this group that was so much for Christ and for life, they divide themselves because of life and because the others were for Paul. Let me just draw this. Here on the blackboard, we've got this city of Corinth.
Da ist die Gemeinde in Corinth.
And here, the church. Here is the church in Corinth, within the borders of Corinth. And here is Paul's group, Apollos' group, Peter's group, and the Christ's group. Paul's group, Peter's group, Apollos, and Christ.
Und was sagt Paulus?
What does Paul say? Paul says, stop with your groups. Don't do that. Just for one church. There is just one church in Corinth. Not more. And he takes three chapters and a verse also from the first verse of the fourth chapter to give the reason for that. The next thing he says is, after Christ is crucified, is Christ divided? Was Christ was Paul crucified for you, or have you been baptized into Paul's name? We were baptized into the name and the person of the triune God, right? Baptism is an important step. But we should not mix that up with following John the Baptist. What would that be? And then Paul speaks about the cross. For these things that cause division, we need the cross. And then he speaks about the Spirit. And then he says that we should not exalt anyone. He says, someone planted, but God gave the growth. And now let me skip over to today's testimony. Today's testimony of God in one locality. Today we have a testimony here in the church. You can see it. It's a testimony towards the world, but also towards religion. And religion, by religion, I mean the world with a religious touch, but also towards the believers who are scattered in religion. We have a testimony here, right? And in each locality, in many different localities in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, in West Africa, in the US, there is a testimony, right? In some localities, in one locality, one church. One church in the Lord. What did we do? Well, let's assume that this is the city of Stuttgart. Let's say
10,000 Christians.
And that in Stuttgart there are about 10,000 Christians. What do you think? How many groups do we have in Stuttgart that are registered in an official way, with an official authority that registers them? Christian churches, Christian fellowships, what do you guess? Make a guess. I know about 70, in these years, 70 registered ones. We are not included. But there may well be more than 100, far more than 100 groups. I cannot draw that many circles here. I think half an hour would not be sufficient to draw more than 100 cycles here. Circles. And what would Paul say in such a situation? What would he say? Where is the church in Stuttgart, in Bonn, in Karlsruhe? Many groups, many churches, but no church. That's the reason why we came out. We decided to come out. So we started to come out of groups, out of division, in order to build the church in that locality. Of course, we claim the scripture that condemns clearly separation and division in the scripture. The scripture condemns it. And we said We wanted to build up, to recover the church in Stuttgart. And we started with a small number. There are still many, many different groups. You say, now you're another group. You're adding just one group. Yes, we are another one group if you just have a sociological look at it. But from the word of the scripture point of view and from our leading through the Lord, we are the church. And we told the Lord, Lord, we want to be your church. We don't want to create another division. You take care that you may obtain your church that you are pleased with, the one that you are pleased with. Lord, build your church with us. What we are, we want to be unto you. This independent of an organization, independent of influential people, and we also don't want to cooperate with an organization, and we are quite careful now with influential people. We have had bad experience with that. First of all, they were very spiritual, and then they caused division themselves. For some or the other own reason, their own reason. But I have to tell you, the Lord led us, carried us through 50 years. And now we can confess that during all that time, the Lord never spared his supply. He never took it away. He always blessed us. And he will continue to bless us if we remain faithful. And if we keep his oneness, and if we take heed of the fact that no one gets in between, neither from the outside, like fierce wolves, nor from the inside, someone standing up, rising up, and making follow people him after himself, and drawing people after himself. We can be quiet when we trust the Lord. We can be at peace. We can be in life and fully be centered on him. Remain fully focused on him. We live through the Lord. And when difficulties arise, there is no insurance. We are not insured against this happening again. It's really a very sensitive thing, this one as well. It's actually not a thing, it's the Lord himself. But it's quite sensitive. So we should not transgress the Lord or violate the Lord because he will fly away like a dove, I read somewhere. We want to invite the Spirit. We want to promote and support the Spirit and want to receive life. And we want to have the church life. Let's see what the church life looked like in the scripture. And this should be our practice. A lot of word, the word dwelling richly among them, much fellowship. Much prayer. What are these? These are no tools, but this is something that promotes the Spirit and brings the Lord into our fellowship and gives us a greater awareness of the fact that we are a member of the body. I'm important for the Lord. I want to fulfill my function. Lord, show me my way. Lord, I'm a member of the body. I want to give myself for you and your church. We need more consecration, right? Further consecration, continued consecration. Praise the Lord for all those older ones who have fought so many battles in the church life over these years. Most of the time it was peaceful though, but there were some problems and difficulties, but also smaller difficulties have to be overcome in spirit. Every now and then a problem arises. But praise the Lord for the saints, for the brothers in spirit, who stood up in time. Praise the Lord for what he has done. We are here for the Lord, for his beloved church, his bride, the fullness. And we are well pleasing to him when we keep the oneness in spirit. That's what I say. And this is even a testimony in front of powers and principalities. They see what God is doing here on this earth with former natural fallen people. What God can do, it's like a theater for them. For the enemy, it is a threat. And that's why he's trying to restrict us from all sides. But God's word is not bound. We have to break through these limits somehow, that the word can go out to people, that the truth can reach out to people. Yes, we are the testimony of oneness for God, towards the world, towards people, and also in front of powers and principalities, but also not last to ourselves. The young people here, you are maybe the third generation, right? Praise the Lord, the second generation, it rose up, stood up, and joined in carrying the testimony. Now the third generation has to grow up. The young people have to continue to bear this testimony. We older ones, we have limited time left, but it's your turn now. You young people, you take it into your hands. Rise up. Touch the Lord. Be guided. Be used and be active for the Lord in the church life. Lead a crucified life. A crucified life is not a big thing, actually. It's just taking the Lord into your life. The Lord is the crucified one. I have to die, of course I can say that, right? But it looks, practically it looks that way, that I turn to the Lord. Lord, you are the crucified one. Some or many young people have a hard time with their flesh. But we know that this is not good, like fornication is not good. It destroys myself. The sin of fornication, Paul says, that this is sinning against my own body. But how can I come against the sin of fornication? How can I resist by living the crucified one? We have crucified the flesh through the crucified one. I give myself into this truth, into this reality of being dead with Christ. And this is a power the power of the cross is stronger than the wisdom of men. The cross is our continual companion, and this power of the cross, we should early learn to apply it and to be victor with it. If we learn it in the young age, we have learned it for all our life, and we will need this experience for all our life, because you don't need to expect that problems get reduced. To bear the cross, to leave your soul life and deny it, this is something that we will have to do until the end of our life. But we overcome by far through the one who has loved us, right? Yes, you young people, be strong. John already said in his epistle, you young people, you are strong, because the word of God is living in you. You've got the word of God, and you have overcome the evil one. You have surely had this experience that the evil one was overcome. Continue in that. Brothers and sisters, you are the generation of the future. The Lord is really betting on you, on us also, but we are... Well, the Lord is calling the young people. Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus.
Gemeinde ist
the church.
Und wir haben das ja im letzten Jahr und
well, what we saw last year, and we stressed it again and again, we are also the church in the first love towards the Lord. And in Revelation, the Lord warns the brothers and sisters in his epistle to the church in Ephesus, and all the churches were supposed to hear that, to read, to hear those epistles, that they should not forsake the first love. Ephesus forsook it. I think we didn't forsake it, but I think there is still more potential to develop it. There is still room to the top, as was said. Because it's not just a matter of keeping the oneness, but of also cooperating with each other in love. This is also what the Lord does in us. We expect the Lord to open our eyes so that we can deal with each other in love. Love means a positive heart's attitude, right? It's an acceptance in each respect, in every respect. We can see it best in the way the Lord loved us, in the same way we also love the saints. And John writes a lot about that in his first epistle, right? And he's really strong in this first epistle of his. He says, he who does not love his brother is so far in darkness. So we should really keep this love of the Lord in mind. And he who loves the saints loves to unite and to join with the saints. Right now it's a bit difficult with the online meetings, but still we can have a meeting. And it's nice to see each other in the different, after the meetings, the different windows open up and you can see the brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. We love each other. and we don't want to leave each other, and we stick to each other. The young people also, they are so easily distracted, but we stick to them and we hold to them in love. Brothers and sisters, what we are experiencing here, we are experiencing the divine oneness. This is such a tremendous grace. We cannot really apprehend what a grace this is that the Lord has given us. Be drawn, be attracted by this grace. The Lord has really done a lot and He wants to do more in us. And I have to tell you, in the church life, from the beginning, it was a matter of grace. It was not a matter of activity. Of course, we were active. We were active, indeed. But it was grace again and again, and we often cooperated with grace. The psalmist says, where brothers dwell together in oneness, and so on, there the blessing of the Lord is bestowed. Life forevermore. The eternal life that we are enjoying that was there already before and will be there forever. It's their present, that is the grace, which drew us, which attracted us, which kept us together, and it will also bring us to full maturity. Amen. And we want to abide in this grace, like in 1 Peter 5:12. This is the true grace in which we are standing. So be assured that this is the true grace in which we are standing. Let's praise the Lord for this grace and go on in this grace. And let's continue